Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. If you're on the live stream, working on updating the video, finally, I've been talking about it for a while, but I haven't messed around with the layout, so it probably looks a little janky today. You can check that out by going to southboundsports.com, and here are full conversations pre-show. We're talking a little bit about combine, like high school stuff, and getting players out there to see how they're going to compete. And we got into the camp cycle type stuff, and it reminded me about the IMG Academy, because I had on my notes to bring it up a few weeks ago, and I don't think I did, where IMG Academy is a big football factory type school in Florida, and they recently got purchased. And the goal is to kind of make that like a franchise where there's going to be IMG academies all across the United States, I think. They weren't really clear on what the next move is going to be. And I just think that that's kind of like, it, to me, it's a real big fear. And maybe I'm always like more pessimistic or negative on the show in regards to like high school sports. But I'm always worried that if you go to this model where you have the major schools that are paying big time dollars to get all the best athletes, I think some of the smaller schools are just going to give up at some point and say, well, you know, if you want to play sports, you have to just go to the private school down the road. You know, we have vouchers now. That's like a big thing, or at least in my area, where they're giving like the vouchers where, hey, if you don't want to go to your public school, you can get a voucher and go to whatever school of choice. And my worry is that the school of choice is just going to be the only way you can play sports or certain activities. But, I mean, you're a coach. What do you think? Do you think that's bad for high school sports?
I mean, it's, I don't think it's any worse than stuff that's been going on with private schools versus the public schools. I mean, there's, as long as there's been these types of competition, you have those issues where if someone's willing to allow you to go to the school for a reduced tuition price or compensate athleticism for some other criteria to gain acceptance to a school, you're always gonna you're gonna see that happening. And I think it's easier to do when with some of the smaller athletic type programs. Like, I think it's more prevalent, and you could probably attest to this in your area with the basketball schools, because one or two players brought in completely changes the dynamic of the program. I mean, it does on a smaller scale with football, because you really have to zero in on that dude to be that game changer for your program. It's a little bit harder with football, but I think like with some of the other sports, you get a ringer and you can really make a run out of it.
I just worry, like, you have these specialized schools. Are the kids really learning? Or are they like actually just training all day? Because not many kids can become like a professional athlete. So I wonder like what the academic side of things are. Because I think you're going to get into like more specialized schools now, with like you can do like the math and science type high school, where it's like really geared towards like engineering and programming, stuff like that. And so like if you're really into that in high school and you know that's what you want to do, that's realistically like your pre-college, where you get a lot of like credits for college anyway. And like if you're going to go, like what are you going to get, like communications credits? At like IMG Academy, I don't know like what they're going to be doing if you're spending half the day working out, you know? And that's not like a dig at them. I'm curious, like I'm wondering, because like what if you're a kid or your son or like someone you know, daughter, they're like, hey, we're coming to talk to you because you're really good at like volleyball. We want you to come to our high school. It's like, all right, what's going to be my opportunities? Well, you can earn a D1 scholarship. Yeah, what if I don't? Well, it's like, how am I going to get, like, would I have a chance to get into a big time school with, if I don't like start at IMG, you know?
Like, I would say.
Cause not everyone starts. So like, is that just going to slot you down where you're going to go D2, you're going to go D3, but like that's the only way you can get in to college is if you play sports? I don't know.
I mean, with what you're doing academically, maybe you qualify for academic scholarships and things like that, depending on what, you know, how they do their class rank and everything. That, I mean, it's plausible that they go that route.
I just think it's going to be very similar to like college sports. Like, let's be realistic. No one, not a lot of kids are like really taking a hardcore major, right? You can watch the pre-show and they read them. Remember they used to do their majors? I don't think they do that anymore. Where it'd be like, hey, I'm in this major. It's like everyone was saying like communications or like general studies. It's like, I feel like that's like what the high school would be if you're there to focus on sports. Like, I'm not being naive about it.
No. And
it's not like they're going to come out with like, yeah, I'm ready for pre-med while I'm at IMG benching 800 pounds.
I'm going to be positive about this and just say, I don't know that it's going to be like, I think what it would end up being is like taking the ESPN top 300 and taking those kids and putting them all like in whatever the cluster of high schools are that are the top like 25 or 30 high schools that are typically featured on ESPN. And maybe that's the route they go, that by being in this classification, you're qualifying to be among the people that are represented at this school. And, you know, it becomes almost that guaranteed pipeline into college. You know, I don't know, but if they're already, you're pushing these 4 and 5 star guys, maybe that's another avenue to push the competitiveness.
And maybe you're right. I honestly, I don't know. That's my high tempo, by the way. I really didn't have anything for high tempo. I forgot to bring that up a few weeks ago. I wonder, let's wait and see if they open more schools first. But I do hope that if they do, they have a good pipeline into Michigan and we start to get a lot more top recruits, because we got some good guys from IMG before they made us stop the satellite camps. Remember that? Seems like such a long time ago.
Pre-COVID, man. Just ruining college football.
Ruining college football? Going to the playoffs back-to-back years, Matt? I don't think that's ruining it. I feel like...
Yeah, he was having the satellite camps. How dare him?
Now he could have lost his job. They ended the satellite camps. He was really struggling. Couldn't beat Urban Meyer. Luckily, Brett McMurphy brought them down, which he's bringing in the heat on the Pac-12 too, which we'll talk about later in the show. You have anything else for high tempo?
Yeah, I did have one thing. Have you ever seen something that was perfect before?
What are you talking about?
Have you ever witnessed perfection?
I saw Tom Brady play a lot, Matt.
Did you? How about Katie Sandercock pitching a perfect game in the softball playoffs for FSU, baby?
Those are going on?
Yes, they're going on.
I didn't know.
We're moving on to the Super Regionals, playing Georgia.
I didn't get that notification. I did. Well, the only thing I saw was that WNBA was surprised that their fans weren't sold out. And... Why are you laughing? That's a legit headline I read. And then I was curious. I meant to text you in the pre-show. I forgot to even bring this up when we talked about topics. I looked at the ticket prices because I thought, what's a curve game these days? $10? $13? $15? You go
that
to minor league?
Right.
Because I think that's what the minor league team has done here. Durham's a little bit higher, but Durham's like, you know, let's take a big time AAA, they're like back-to-back champs or whatever. They always win championships down there in Durham. And so I was just wondering, like, what's a WNBA ticket? Some of those tickets were like averaging $40-$50. There's no way that they should be the same as NBA prices, man. I'm pretty sure I paid like $20 or $30 to go to a Bobcats game back when they were the Bobcats down there in Charlotte. And you're telling me that I would like, and we were down low too, behind the hoop. I had to see my man, Kevin Garnett, you know? And so, I wonder, like, how do they expect people to sell out when the tickets are like that expensive? Season tickets were like $300, and I'm pretty sure that's a little bit more than what it would be for NC State football. And I'm not comparing the two because I know WNBA, you'd get a lot more games, but that's a lot more obligation, I think. So yeah. I wonder, like, anytime I hear people complain about like not selling out, my first response is lower your ticket prices. Like XFL, everyone makes fun of them for not having fans in the stands. I'm like, well, what were the tickets? Because like if you're giving, you can give tickets out and have them be super cheap to like schools and things like that. I mean, heck, they do it for the monster truck shows around here. And I know they did in Pennsylvania, like when you're a student, everyone get a free like monster truck ticket because they want their parents to take them. And they're like, I already got my ticket, Dad. Please take me to the monster truck show. And it's like at the Bryce Jordan Center where Penn State sometimes plays basketball once every 20 years. And it's like, all right, we'll go. So like if the WNBA started doing that, maybe they would sell out instead of like selling all their blocks to corporate people that do not show up. But that goes for any sport. Minor league baseball, same thing. Hey, we jacked the price of a hot dog up to $20. People aren't coming. It's like, yeah, no one wants to come and spend $300 at your minor league game. They don't. I mean, I was just the pre-show a couple weeks ago, I was complaining about Zelda going up $10. You're paying $50 for what, two hours of basketball? You pay $70 for the Zelda game. You play, it takes you like 100 hours to beat it, 50 hours, 100 hours to beat it. You're playing for a couple months. That women's basketball game lasts 2 to 3 hours tops. And you're paying the same? Like, I don't understand. Like, there's a disconnect there to me. Where, if you're going to charge so much for concessions, then make the tickets cheaper. Don't make me pay for parking, because I guarantee there was a parking fee too in LA. Like, I guarantee that trip. If you try to take two kids, like, let's say not even bring in like a spouse, just the dad or mom taking their two kids, I guarantee that would be like a $300 trip, unless you're not doing anything else and you're just paying the $50 for seats down low. Then you're looking at like 200 with parking. Insane, especially with inflation, but that's off topic. Yeah, the same thing with camps. I'm circling back around. I talked about like football camps and how like they do the recruiting rankings. Sometimes some kids don't have rankings because they can't pay to go to camps. And then when you can't go to the camps, you're rated lower. And then like the satellite camps were working wonders because they're working with high schools in areas that were underserved by camps. And the NCAA still shut it down because they don't care about the kids. So I don't care if the NCAA goes away.
Oh, and with those camps, I think the more that they can get the colleges just to spell out what exactly their criteria for recruitment or what they're looking for. And I know that there's some of the cloak and dagger stuff that they have to do because they don't want to tip their hand with stuff. But I think it's frustrating when you're trying to get kids recruited and you can't get a straight answer from the colleges. And you have prospects like that. That's always been a frustrating thing of trying to figure out what's the magic formula to get kids to be able to be recruited.
And that's the one thing too, where going through the cycle, because I did it for baseball, where you start locally, and you mentioned it in the pre-show. It's like, hey, I went through. I might be the best kid here. Like looking around, I'm like top guy. Then you move to like a little bit of a bigger circle, maybe countywide. And you're like, hey, I'm one of the top guys here. And then at one point, I went with two guys that I played on the summer league team with. They were older than me. And they were like guys that I knew were like legit. The one dude ran like a 4.4. It's like, all right, these guys are like legit athletes. And so to get invited with them was like a blessing, dude. It's like, hey, this could happen, you know? So he went, I forget even what it was. I think it might have been like Seattle Mariners or something, or maybe the Cardinals. And we go there and like you match up against some of the other dudes from like across the state and they're jacked. And I mean, I'm like not small either. I'm like between 6'1 and 6'2. And so like I'm out there running And it's like, before I'd be like winning the races. Now these dudes are like way more muscular than me and way faster. It's like, holy shit, what's up with this dude? He roiding? Like, there's no way that dude is like a year younger than me, like he said he was. He looks like he's 50. So like having that experience and like getting to the bigger camp, I think is a big deal. And for football, a lot of times, like if you're a small time player, I feel like it's tough to even get that. I mean, my brother got tons of letters from like big time programs because he got like the scholarship for the All-Star game, and like these big time programs were like, "Yo, come play with us, come play with us," and all this stuff. And he, like not doing the camp circuit. I mean, this was like in the early days. This had been in the early days of like the recruiting sites, but like I don't think he was ever really on those sites because he never went to the camps. But schools were definitely interested. They wanted to get him on campus to do like the workouts. And I think a lot of schools try to get people on campus to get an early shot, you know? So they reach out to the player directly before the camps. Because I noticed like a lot of, we always joke about it on the show, like if Michigan gets in on a guy early and next thing you know, they offer him, typically it's like, all right, yeah, you're definitely a 3 or 4 star guy. If Alabama gets in on a guy early, it's like 5 star, boom. He doesn't even have an offer sheet. It's like, oh, Alabama 5 star, perfect. If the guy like commits to Michigan, then they're like, nah, we're gonna take a star away. Only a 4 star now. But you did have that bump because Nick Saban found you first. It just didn't work out, son. You didn't perform to our level. You didn't pick the school he wanted you to pick. And so I feel like a lot of it is just bullshit. And so that, like, I think anyone that's a 4 star or up, traditionally, you've had, they go through enough cycles at that point where you can go up. But I mean, Michigan's had their fair share of like unrecruited, like no stars to 3 star guys get drafted. Hell, they just had a kicker drafted in like the, what round was that? The 3rd round? It's like insanity. He wasn't even the big time recruit, kicking recruit. That was Quinn Nordine. Remember Harbaugh had that sleepover? It's like, the guy taking his place didn't get a sleepover, but he gets drafted higher, you know? You never know. Recruiting things can be off. Let's get into... Go ahead.
One thing on that is, you know, if you're a college and you're saying, I want my top players, like, I can totally understand, and I would probably be in this camp, that if I was coaching at a college level, I would want to have my hands on the player. Like, I would want to be able to try to coach them at the camp and just physically see them and see how do they act, how do they interact with other players, how do they interact with the staff. Like, I want to know who they are, and you get a good feel of that, I think, when you're working directly with them. I think it would be really challenging to just watch exclusively film and try to base that judgment. So if that's the route you go, I would be okay with that, as long as you're communicating that with the coaches and being like, hey, we're interested. Before I put an offer on the table, I need to see him, you know, get him to camp. If he has a good camp, we're offering. Like, you know exactly where you stand. It's not this, well, send him to camp and pay this money so that we can just ignore you later.
Well, I think that's kind of where Wisconsin gets away with it, where everyone always says, like, where are they churning out these linemen? But if you have a pipeline high school program where you know the coach knows the type of athlete you need, and they're able to say, like, hey, I got a guy, grew up, like, right outside Wisconsin, wants to be a Badger. It's like, you should take them. I think there's some of that where if you have a high school coach that's been there forever and they kind of know, like, they're not going to sell you down, like, just do you wrong, you know? So they're going to come in, know what's expected. But I feel like after a while that has to catch on, where it's like, hey, how's Wisconsin having all these, like, number one, like, linemen getting picked? Where are they getting these guys? We better start poking around their high schools. And it's hard to keep that a secret. Unless you like, because I think a lot of times Wisconsin and even Iowa do this, where you get a guy from a high school that knows the type of offense you're running. You give him a mandatory red shirt, and then your practice squad for another year, and then you're really just starting to get reps as like a backup, as like your second year. So you really don't see the field to your 3rd or 4th year, and by that time you're already big, you're college ready, and you're able to cycle them through. Where that works at a smaller program like those two, but like in Ohio State or Michigan, where guys are getting drafted early, like that doesn't work. You can't just like sit them on the bench when you have guys that come in expecting to play right away and they're going to leave early. If you redshirt them, you might only get 2 years out of them, right? Because they can still go after the third year. Doesn't matter if you redshirt them or not. It's based on age. It's not like they have to play for 3 years.
But now I also think it's a risk that you run, because now if you don't play them right away or you don't have that rapport, are they going to jump to the transfer portal?
And we can start with the transfer portal stuff. Pat Narduzzi, the Pat signal, you know, putting it up there on Deion Sanders, calling him out.
Are you throwing the Pat signal up there?
I'm throwing the Pat signal up there because I think he's mad about Addison, right? He's still bitter about that.
I would be pissed too if I was him.
All right, let's be honest. Addison didn't have a great USC career. He went to USC and he disappeared, right? He didn't win another wide receiver award, did he?
No.
And that's where I don't understand where some of these guys, it's like, hey, Pitt had Larry Fitzgerald, they had Addison. Why would you go to USC? And people are like, well, he got paid. It's all about the money. It's like, he kind of fell. He could have been a top 10 pick. What, he get picked like 20th or something around there? I don't even remember where he got drafted. But yeah, it wasn't in the top 10, I don't think. Where at Pitt, I guarantee if he would have had another great year at Pitt, he would have been one of the top wide receivers taken. If not the top, and he would have been in the top 10. Because like, you don't have that type of magic career. Now, maybe he thought Kenny Pickett was necessary for him. But like, come on. Some programs, like I look at like what Desmond Howard did at Michigan, where he was like the point career like leader or whatever, beating kickers. Most programs have kickers as their high scoring dudes. Not Michigan with Desmond. I think the kicker finally, I think the guy that got drafted this year finally beat him. Desmond Howard. It's like, you could be a wide receiver at a program like Pitt and you could rack up a ton of touchdowns and have your name everywhere because you are the guy. The ACC needs guys like that. They're going to help promote you. The Pac-12 doesn't care. USC's on their way out. They're all about Caleb Williams, right? I don't understand a guy in the NIL era that's going to go and play second fiddle and lose their hype, you know, because he basically lost all hype with that deal.
Yeah.
No one was talking about him. No one was talking about him last year. So, I mean, in the offseason, he had all the hype. And, yeah, maybe he got paid. And maybe he'll get paid in the NFL and have a very long career. But, like, he wasn't as hyped nearly as much as the Ohio State guys. So, I don't understand that decision. And now with Pat calling out Deion, I said that the Deion, like, taking over, getting everyone, that's fine. I still think that's fine. But I do understand where some players are coming in. Like Michigan's Taylor Upshaw transferred to Colorado. He had an interception in the Ohio State game last year on CJ Stroud that basically helped seal the game. He intercepts them, and then I think Michigan breaks their second long run or whatever. Like, I think that was the series where they were down in the red zone. It was like a desperation heave, but he's like a D end or whatever, dropped back coverage, made the play. Colorado has no one near his level. And I know he's transferring out because Michigan's like backfilled with a bunch of like other studs, so it's hard to get playing time. It's so he wants to go be a star somewhere. Colorado has no one like that. So for him to come in and have a guaranteed player that could be a starter for them, a major step up to what they had last year, and then he transfers like right after spring football, that kind of makes me worried for the Colorado program. Because like, what's the communication with a guy like that? Those are the kind of guys Deion needs. You need contributors. You need guys that can make big time plays and that have done it for playoff teams. And if you're getting rid of those guys, like, it's one thing for Michigan to process them. Colorado should not be processing a guy after spring training. So I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. Maybe he got lazy. I have no idea. But to me, that's the one that stuck out to me, is almost like, all right, something else could be going on here. But I don't know why Pat's upset. Pat had a chance with Pitt. And I know Pitt, they're, what, NIL's not going to be there? Is that what their complaint is? I mean, they can do stuff if they wanted. USF just got their own on-campus football stadium.
Well, I think it was because of the way at Colorado, Dion was very public about when he arrived on campus, he was trying to push guys out. And I think Narduzzi had that the feeling that if guys wanted to go on their own accord without being pushed, that they should, that those are the guys that you have, and you should be trying to, if players choose to leave on their own, obviously using the portal would be appropriate to do that, but to just go into a new school and be like, all right, all you losers suck, get out of here, I'm going to go find someone else. Like, it's using the portal in the fastest way to flip your job. But I mean, if I'm Dion, I'm not messing around with it. You know, I think that's what you have to do, because if he doesn't immediately flip the scene at Colorado, he'll be canned, and then I don't even know where he'll be if he bottoms out at Colorado, because I don't know another Power Five will be reaching out if he can't win there. He'll just be stuck.
Well, he would be done if he can't win at Colorado. I think he would be a stepping stone. Although I don't even know what the situation with Colorado is going to be, because we might as well talk about it now and then just do a reverse of what I have the topics on. That's why I don't even want to have topics on the show, because I know I always get on a tangent here. But Brett McMurphy, you know, the guy that took down Urban Meyer, he's been tweeting out a bunch of stuff about the Pac-12. Washington State has a freeze on athletic purchases right now, because the Pac-12 paid out extra money that they shouldn't have paid out. Now they have to pay it back to Fox or whatever TV network that they took it from. And so Washington State is low on money. They're having to pay back money that they didn't have. And the guy let it leak that the new TV deal is going to be under what they expected. And that should be announced any time now. So I'm not 100% sure going forward, like, what the path is going to be and where they can make that jump. I think there's going to be a clear divide. The Nebraska athletic director, he's been talking all kind of crazy stuff. I've heard that he's the one that leaked Miami and Florida State to the Big Ten. And the Big Ten supposedly wants to be heavy in Florida, which I've been saying for like a long time now, that I think that's the move that they have to make, because you're in LA, you're in Chicago, you're basically in New York with Rutgers. People make fun of it or whatever. There's no other team near there. Plus you have Ohio State and Michigan. The only New York team that you're missing is Notre Dame, which I think if you get the Florida teams, Notre Dame has to come. There's no way Notre Dame turns down a conference with Miami, Penn State, Michigan State, Purdue, Michigan, and USC and joins the SEC, right? That would have to be some weird Big East back deal where the SEC lets them stay independent and they have like a weird ACC type deal, which if the SEC agrees to that, the SEC's done. I'm telling you, right now, the way the money's shaking out, they did the payouts. Did I send you the payouts? Did we talk about this last week?
I think we did a little bit, but
so the payouts, the way they went, maybe I didn't send it to you. No, I didn't. So the payouts for last year, the Big Ten was like at $58 million. The SEC was at $48 million. They're already $10 million behind the Big Ten. And next, like when the big TV deal kicks in, they're going to be even further behind the big time. So they're talking about hypothetically making that up with Oklahoma and Texas. But I still don't think that the SEC is going to make that much money, because that's why ESPN has been silent. If the SEC was going to make that much, I feel like ESPN would be hyping that beyond belief, right? Because, like, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I'm looking to see if I can find the actual numbers for the other conferences, because I thought it was very interesting, because the Big 12, actually, if you went per member, I think they were third. And it looks like, I think Skype was being weird. I'm hearing like an echo. And I think you dropped off. I don't know if you were there the whole time or not.
No, I'm here.
All right, let's see if we can see. All right, so yeah, the Big Ten was at 58.8 per school. SEC was 49.9. ACC, they had a range. They were at, well, actually the Big 12 was there. Big 12 was had a range too. They were from 42 to 44.9. So I'm thinking Texas with the Longhorn Network probably made 44.9. I don't see how the SEC is going to pay like an extra $10 million to them when they're already paying them under what the SEC makes, right? The Pac-12 was at 37, and the ACC was between. They had 37 to 41. So I don't know why the ACC had split revenue like that. That like was kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
Unless 37 was like Notre Dame. Which, if that's Notre Dame, that's a BS deal. The ACC is giving them that much money because they don't play any. They don't play football. That's the money making sport. That's the only thing I could think of is like maybe the ACC reported Notre Dame as the lower number. I don't know why someone else would be not getting the full payout. The Big 12 was pretty clear. I thought they were the only ones that had Texas making more, which is why they left for the SEC. I mean, we talked about the billion-dollar deal where the Big Ten, like, their money's way more than what the SEC is supposed to be getting. Now, if the ACC splits, because that's what McMurphy's been hinting at, and same with the Nebraska AD, he thinks that those the seven schools we talked about last week, he thinks that they're gone by 2026, which is 2 years from now. Because I think that's when they can kick in. There's like some other type of renegotiation deal, right? With 10 years left.
I think you're right.
So I don't know if they if that's the date. I don't know if that's the exact date, but that's what they were hinting at. I really don't see the Big Ten taking three North Carolina schools, though. Because one of the rumors were that they're looking at taking Notre Dame, UNC, Duke, NC State, Florida State, and Miami. But that just seems really weird to only take a bunch of schools in two states. Right?
But, you know, I didn't even think of this. And I don't know. I probably should have by now. But I saw Paul Feinbaum was talking about how he doesn't think that the SEC should pick up any of the ACC schools because they're not SEC quality. Because he said, like, the two that would be the most attractive would be Clemson, who's already in the South Carolina market, and Florida State, where they already have Florida, so it doesn't make sense for them to add from those areas. But he did bring up the point of Miami, and just from a recruiting standpoint, adding them, that I mean, I guess for both conferences it seems to make sense, but even though they haven't been competitive, they've been claiming they've been back since 2000, but they haven't even won an ACC championship since coming into the conference for football.
Well, that's where I think the Big Ten MO, like they did with USC and UCLA, you add two teams from the same what, the same city? Is there like nearby? I know Miami and Florida State aren't really that close, though, as like travel partners. But if you get both of them, you're really boxing out the SEC. The only way I think the North Carolina rumor makes sense is if you really get ahead and cut the SEC out of North Carolina and you add Virginia Tech and Virginia, there's really no way for the SEC to get into the North. Right? They could add West Virginia, but are like they're going to add a Cincinnati? Like there's not like a big name that ESPN would already pay, because that's what the issue is right now. The Big Ten has more money because they didn't sign an exclusive deal. ACC signed an exclusive deal with ESPN. SEC just got out of their CBS deal, signed an exclusive deal with ESPN. So all of their negotiation powers are with one TV network. The Big Ten rumor is that NBC is still interested in more primetime games. And the old commissioner that jumped, where did that guy go to? I don't even know where he left to. But the old commissioner for the Big Ten supposedly left some of their contracts not finished. And a lot of people are reading that as a negative of like, oh, the Big Ten might not be making as much money as they are. But I read that as a positive. Like, could you imagine if NBC is like, hey, we want more games. And the Big Ten's like, what about Florida State and Miami? Right? And NBC is probably like, oh, shit, that's a good deal. That's a good deal, bro. Let's do that. Because that's the difference. The Big Ten has three TV networks that each want a big-time program. They moved, I don't know if you saw this, they moved the Penn State-Michigan State game from after the Michigan-Ohio State game on Thanksgiving weekend. They moved it to Black Friday. So the Big Ten slate is going to be Black Friday. You have Iowa-Nebraska, Michigan State-Penn State. Then on Saturday, you have Michigan-Ohio State, the game. Why not have Miami-Florida State right in there? And then end the day with UCLA and USC. Why not? Right? Or hell.
That'd be slate.
What if Notre Dame joins and the capper is Notre Dame USC? So you start with Ohio State, Michigan, top five matchup last year, probably going to be top 10 again, if not top five this year. Then you have Miami, Florida State to get people pumped for Notre Dame USC. I don't see how the networks would be. First off, the SEC is how they're going to compete with that. They only have the Iron Bowl that gets any numbers on rivalry weekend. And I think I hinted a few weeks ago, like their other option would be to bring Oklahoma, Texas in from October to that weekend. And some people were saying the Big Ten should give that weekend up. There's no way NBC wants to give that weekend up CBS or Fox, because that's the difference. You could have the Fox game be Michigan, Ohio State, CBS is Miami, Florida State, and then the NBC night game is Notre Dame and USC, which they already have a hand in with Notre Dame anyway. So that would just be insanity for them. And so if you take in the Big Ten and you give them Miami, Florida State, excuse me, the SEC also loses Florida State, Florida. So you're directly killing them. If the Big Ten adds Georgia Tech, they lose Georgia Tech that weekend. If you take away Clemson, just you add them on a whim, you lose Clemson, South Carolina. The Big Ten could just make it Clemson and Georgia Tech that weekend and say only conference games. Just do the conference games, bros. We don't need the SEC. You want to be the premier team? Make your new rivalry in the Big Ten. Make a trophy for it. I don't know what they do in Georgia and Clemson. Like a BMW trophy? Or a Mercedes? Isn't Atlanta like the Mercedes-Benz Stadium? And I think Clemson has like BMW there, so you just have a trophy of the two cars. And then that's the new Thanksgiving trophy. It's perfect. Because that's the one thing, like, They talk about, hey, if Washington and Oregon come to the Big Ten, you're going to lose Oregon State and Oregon. You're going to lose Washington and Washington State. No. You're going to lose them at the end of the year, correct? But I think they're going to turn into like the Iowa State, Iowa, where you have an early rival. And honestly, if I'm the TV networks, I'm trying to keep those rivalries alive. You want to see Penn State play Pitt. Because most of the years, they should kick the shit out of them. Like Penn State, West Virginia, they should smash them this year. You want to see Oregon play Oregon State and Iowa beat Iowa State every year. Now, a lot of times it's more competitive because it's a rivalry game and stuff. It adds more excitement. But I'd rather watch that than say Penn State playing like Alcorn State or something, right? Like, who cares? If the Big Ten can do 9 conference games and 1 out-of-conference rivalry game to start the year, 2 cupcakes, I think that's an ideal schedule. Some schools like Michigan, like, you're not going to have – if Notre Dame joins, you really don't have an out-of-conference rival left, right? They could add Florida, but I'm assuming Florida's going to want Florida State. So – I don't know what they would do. I don't know what Ohio State would do. Get Cincinnati. Michigan State would be out of luck and stuff. So,
but I think that's also one of the issues that the ACC kind of built for themselves too, with absorbing teams from the Big East. And I think they kind of thought, well, we can break away from some of the traditional rivalries and still be able to say, well, you have a rivalry game because it's from your old conference. But you can't force a rivalry, especially one that's going to end up being lopsided like a lot of these ones end up being. So I think, like, when you pick and choose, you know, I've always liked the fact that Florida State plays Florida and Miami. And, you know, there's both of those programs at different points of the year end up being ranked. So you're getting the benefit of playing quality competition and not having to face some FCS program. And, you know, people knock the Alabamas of saying, well, look, you're out of conference schedule. You're playing in the SEC, but look at your out of conference. You're playing 3 teams with on wheelchairs and, you know, some other school of the blind.
That's where I think, if you do a crossover, Florida State, Florida's still there. Miami becomes the last weekend game because that's the Big Ten conference game. The Big Ten builds that as rivalry week. ESPN builds it as rivalry week. That, to me, because of your ACC rivals that you mentioned, if a lot of them come to the Big Ten can reinvent that schedule and it would still be successful. I think that definitely hurts the SEC instead, though. They can't fill that up. The Big Ten can find rivals inside the conference that are going to be semi-competitive to fill that void. I don't think the SEC can. Like, if Florida loses Florida State, who are they going to play the last weekend? Do they make it Georgia, Florida? I think they would have to. But there's only so many of those games to go around, right? Because if you take Georgia Tech if the Big Ten doesn't take Georgia Tech, then would Georgia stop playing Georgia Tech just to play Florida to help the SEC? I don't know.
I mean, maybe that would be the way they do it, is just close off the conference.
And, I mean, that's how the Big Ten does it. They close off the conference pretty much late in the year. And the SEC kind of doesn't. Like you said, they have those cupcakes right before rivalry week. And it's like, all right, well, if Michigan did that, like, that would be nice. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. Would that really make a big difference? Would they have beat Ohio State more if they had a rival, like a rest week before the rivalry week? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting because the way they're saying is the Nebraska AD said that they're looking at maybe 4 more Pac-12 schools. To me, that makes it seem like they're trying to get to 24, right? Because you would have 6 schools out west, and then the rest would be like the regular Big Ten and stuff. Because why would you add just four more schools? That's going to give you six. That would get to 20. I don't think they do that. Like that to me, that's too many. I would rather have Florida State, Miami, UNC, and Virginia, and then Oregon and Washington. I don't know how many that is. Six. So then Notre Dame and whoever Notre Dame wants. If they want Stanford, that's it. Then you just have five out west, and you make it work. Like Northwestern's AD's already been complaining about it. Make them play in the West. Like screw them. Their name Northwestern, right? Like that'd be hilarious if their AD is the one like bitching about it, and they're like, you know what, you're Northwestern, you're going to be in the West with Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA. Have fun, buddy. Because to be fair, they're right outside Chicago. Well, see, this is what people have been saying, and I don't agree with it. They're saying that the travel flights are going to be outrageous, and they cited West Virginia as a thing. West Virginia has to fly out of Pittsburgh, right? Which is an hour bus ride or so, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they have to take a bus, then fly into Pittsburgh and go. If you're playing Northwestern, as funny as that would be, I think they're right in Chicago, so they could just take the flight and be right there. Fly in, play your game, and get out. If any team made sense to be in the West, it would be Northwestern, I think. The rest of the teams, you'd have to bus in and out somewhere, I think. Like Michigan would have to bus into Detroit. Unless I think a lot of their flights might come out of Ann Arbor, though. I don't even know. But like the other flights, like that, I know that's what West Virginia was looking at trying to solve with the Big 12. I don't know if they ever did or not. But. You got anything else for college?
No.
The only NFL thing I had this week was that Ben Roethlisberger came out on a podcast with Kenny Pickett and said that he wanted him to fail. And I thought, yeah, no doubt. Because like if you're going to be laid off from work and they tell you like, hey, we're bringing this other guy in, no one is going to say, I want that guy to be better than me. Everyone's going to say, I hope he's worse than me. It's just human nature. You don't want to be followed up by a guy that does your job better than you, no matter if you're old or not. Like sometimes, like if you're a kid's bus driver, you're hanging on, like that's going to be too hard to keep going, you know? Or it's like, yeah, maybe I do want a better driver to take my place. But any other regular job, even quarterbacking, like you're going to want the guy to do worse than you. Like I'm sure Tom Brady would say the same thing. But Tom Brady's doing his quarterback camp thing too now. Did you see that?
No.
He had all the guys over his house, like Bryce Young, Richardson, like all the top quarterbacks. And then he sat down with like Bryce Young, and Bryce Young said he was like asking him all these questions about like prepping the team and like things he could do to win over the locker room. And I thought that's pretty cool. Like Tom Brady should definitely do that and then start recruiting for Michigan too on the side.
Yeah, but I don't think he doesn't know how to win over a locker room. He's so old now and outdated.
Well, you know what's funny? It's like a picture of all these guys and some of the quarterbacks coming into the league looked like they just like were in like a t-shirt and like jeans or something. Tom Brady posed for the photo. He like turned to the side like he was a model. Like he looked really thin. He was like shoving his chest out. And I thought, damn, Tom Brady's showing these fools up in this photo. The rest looked like slobs and Tom's right there ready to go. That's what he should have been teaching them, is how to like look like a professional.
Look like you're on top model.
Yeah, that's what you need to do to win. Because like Tom always has these guys around him that are like, I don't know if they're like his chef or whatever, but they're always dressed top notch too. And I'm not saying like you're just wearing like expensive clothes. I mean like you're just clean cut, like not looking dirty. Like no dudes are like look like they haven't showered in 3 days. They're always like cleaned up. It's like they can walk right into the Yankees. They're not like looking like Boston Red Sox players, you know? That's my comparison.
Wow.
Johnny Damon, baby. me and Johnny Damon have the hair. I could not be in Tom Brady's posse. We'll just say that. Anything else you have for the NFL or college football?
No, I think that's it for me.
All right, the next one, the other topic I had was teams getting swept. And right now, dude, I had to jinx it. I talked about the Celtics and the Canes having an easy path right through. You're playing a lower seed, and both are about to be swept. And it's embarrassing. I don't know how the Celtics, they came out. I said last week, I hope they don't take that Sixers series as like, hey, we won the championship already. Let's lock it up. And that's exactly what they did. Coming out flat, not scoring for three games. Like, you got to get one at home. I don't care. The Canes have just been getting some bad breaks. And unfortunately, when you're down 3-0 in hockey or 0-3, you're not coming back. Right? So they're done. And the crazy thing is, both the NHL and NBA could have all of their teams in the finals coming off sweeps. So Vegas could sweep Dallas. Florida could sweep the Canes. The Nuggets already swept the Lakers. And the Celtics are about to be swept by the Heat. So write it in. That's what everyone was saying. Oh, if the Lakers and Celtics both came back and won, you know the NBA is rigged. Right? Because they're going to hate a Nuggets Heat finals. With the Heat having, what, Jimmy Butler? That's it?
Yeah.
That's their star power?
All it does is just piss me off, because there's no reason that the Sixers couldn't have just supermaxed him and kept him, and they could have probably won at least one or two championships by now.
It's a shame. That's where I said Tatum looked like he stepped up against the Sixers. Now he's back to shit in the bed. And like the Celtics, like, yeah, I'm going to be looking forward to more of this next year. Awesome. You lose Horford, like, these guys haven't won shit. And now the Nuggets come in? Like, give me a break. The Canes, I just thought, man, this would be kind of, I know they've been good, they've been solid. It's breaking their way. They don't have to play Boston. I know the Florida barely beat Boston. Like, now I'm wondering, would a Boston series have been better for the Canes? If they would have won that overtime game, though, I think the series would feel a lot better. Even if they were down 2-1. But being down 3-0, there's no way. I don't think they're coming back.
Yeah.
Same with the Celtics. Like, if Celtics rip off four wins in a row, number one, it would be insane. And number two, like, I don't even know what my number two would be. Like, would they just be ready to rip off the finals?
We'll never talk basketball ever again because it's rigged.
If they come back and win it, then they're going to be swept in the finals, I think, right? That's the kind of karma I would get. I'd be all pumped in 2 weeks that they came back and they'd lose again. To the Nuggets. Oh, God. My last thing I had, did you see the Pat Riley thing where he called out LeBron? Apparently, LeBron wanted Eric Spoelstra fired. And he came to, like, Pat Riley's office and told him, like, yo, I want you to fire Eric Spoelstra. So Pat Riley took all the players down to the gym, made them line up against the wall. He's like, no one tells me who to fire. And that was it. Let him know. Put him in his place. But that's the key thing. Because now, maybe Pat Riley is a secret. Maybe he's a secret sauce. I don't know.
No, great. Now LeBron's contemplating retirement.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about that earlier? I don't know if we did mention it or not, but yeah. He's ready to retire because he's old. They were already talking about, like, where he would rank all time. So I'm wondering if they know that he's going to retire. Because, like, I don't see the Lakers being a championship caliber team next year. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, he kept making this big push to be able to play a season with his son, which if I would have ever had that opportunity, I would have milked my career as long as possible to see that happen, just because I think that's such a rare thing. to be good enough to play at that level for that long that you have a kid come into the league that is equally as talented. Like, I think that's insane. And I think it would be great, like, a great moment for a family to have that happen.
Seems pretty selfish, though, bro.
But to, like, to publicly say that the way he did and just be, like, so nonchalant that, yeah, I'm going to continue to play and win championships and I'll just go to whatever team and they'll give me a max contract. And
well, that's the thing. If he floated around and did the Tom Brady, where he signed 1 or 2 year deals, he could probably win a few more championships. If he wanted to be the most hated player, how old is he? 38? How long did Shaq play for? Because, like, Shaq went to the Celtics. I feel like LeBron would have to win a championship with the Celtics. And then he'd have to win one with, what, the Knicks?
Just try to win one for every team.
The Bulls. I'm just thinking, like, what would make people hate him the most? If he won one with the Lakers, because I think he only won one with the Lakers, right? Yeah. So if he wins one with the Lakers, one with the Celtics, and then he wins one with the Knicks, I think that would make him the best player of all time. Because, like, no one wins with the Knicks.
No. I don't care how many he piggybacks off of. Jordan didn't get swept in the playoffs.
I'm just saying. LeBron is old. His thing is he does the super teams. He needs to lean into it and win, like, 8 championships as, like, the Franco, Julio Franco guy that just comes in off the bench, like the sixth man. He could be the sixth man.
He could, but I don't think his ego would allow that. Like, he wants to be the guy, but, I mean, it's just every time they get in these tight series where they need him to step up and hit shots.
He can't do
it. He goes, like, 1 of 7 or 2 of 8, and it's like, wow, LeBron really isn't shooting. It's like, what does he specialize in? Recruiting people to be on the team.
See, his thing was he won with the Cleveland Cavs. If he would have stayed with the Cavs the rest of his career, he could have been like Chipper Jones for them, you know, even though he left the first time. He came back, got them the championship. If he wins 1 or 2 more, that's it. Instead, he went to the Lakers, and everyone's like, what the hell? Like, no one's going to name him as a great Laker. No one's going to. So the fact that he even went there is just a joke. That's why I think it would be a joke of him going to the Celtics and winning one, or hell, even the Bulls. Could you imagine? He's just, like, on all these marquee franchises as, like, the guy that wins up a championship. Because he got the Heat down. Lakers, Boston, the Knicks, or the Bulls. I think those would be the teams that I think he should try to milk one out of. He could do the Celtics. He could win with the Celtics next year if he came in. I mean, the Celtics are close right now. They just don't have a guy like him that can just get other guys open. Right? And I don't think he'd even have to do much.
Yeah.
So he could win one, go there next year just for 1 year. I don't know what his contract's like with LA, though. I don't know if he can get out of it. Then after that, then you get all your best buds to go to Chicago. Win one there, and then get all your best butts to go to the Knicks and win one there. And if he really wants to milk it, he can get Golden State in there somewhere too. Because Golden State had a down year. If he went there too, he could probably win back-to-backs with one with the Golden State, one with the Celtics real quick, and then get all his buddies at his other two teams. That's 8. Matt, that'd be 8. That'd be perfect for him. He'd win it 7 different franchises. Unbelievable.
I can't believe that you actually got that comment out with a straight face and not just spit your coffee everywhere.
No, because I'm telling you, if I were him, that's what I would try to do. He's 38 right now. Let's say conservatively is a slow 6 man. He can play until he's like 44. So, like, he needs to win one next year.
But you're factoring in that he goes the Julio Franco route and is willing to be that sixth guy coming off the bench. Like, he has to be the guy.
I'm saying, if I were him, I would bite the bullet. Because if you win with like eight championships, Matt, that's insane. They even if you're the bench, the sixth man, you're still going to be the sixth man. And if you go to the Celtics and Golden State, I think you could really win one next year. I don't know what the contract situations are. I think you'd probably have to hit Golden State first and then the Celtics the year after, unless they have guys leaving. So then you hit boom, boom, two championships. You tie Jordan. After you tie Jordan, you say, well, you know what? I'm going to go to Chicago. Reach out to some of these other guys and say, like, yo, who wants to win in Chicago with me? Get them all there. Win one there to put you up to Jordan. And then you're like, well, you know what? I want to be better than Jordan. You could even go to Washington and win there. Do they still have a franchise? They used to be what? They're the Wizards now? Are they still around? I don't even know. Yeah, they are. They were what this year? 35-47. If he would win with Washington when Jordan failed there, perfect. Ender, you don't even need to go to the Knicks, Matt. That's my final bell. LeBron career advice. Because I really don't have anything else. I don't even think I sent you anything this week. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
No.
I think my big thing that I'm just waiting for is the college football showdown. Because I think that these conferences are going to explode. June 30th should be a good date somewhere around there. We should find out the TV deal. And if it's pushing to July, even better. I kind of really want Miami and Florida State to go to the Big Ten. Because I think that will lock up the Big Ten as the best conference. There'd be no debate. And I think if the Big Ten goes that route, there's an even better chance of them stealing teams from the SEC next. Because what SEC team, just like Florida State's bitching that they're 20 million behind Rutgers, it's only a matter of time until LSU's bitching that they're 20 million behind Rutgers, you know?
Yeah.
Now, would LSU be taken? Maybe they're on the chopping block, right? That's why I don't think the Big Ten should rush and take like Virginia Tech and even NC State. Like, no offense to them. We talked about markets. Florida's the only state that needs two teams. Other than California might need two or three, depending if you want to take Stanford or Cal, which I say no. I say screw them. Take Oregon and Washington. Hell, maybe take Utah and Colorado. If you want some more Western school teams, different states, you know, kind of like getting a connection going, get a Colorado-Nebraska rivalry going since Oklahoma's off the table right now. And get North Carolina. Don't take Duke. Screw Duke. Get Virginia. Maybe get Georgia Tech. And then if you want Clemson, grab Clemson. If not, whatever. I think Clemson, well, if you take NC State, I could see them taking Clemson and getting that textile bowl and making that the big time rivalry. Because, like, how's that going to be more lopsided than, like, what South Carolina is, you know? I've seen North Carolina State upset Clemson before. So, get that rivalry going. Just make UNC's new rival Virginia then. And then maybe you don't need Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, though, is right in the heart of SEC territory. The only thing that I'm thinking is if you're going to raid the SEC next, you don't take Georgia Tech and then take Georgia as well. You take Clemson maybe because you're not going to take South Carolina. And then you take Georgia. And then does Florida get left behind? Because if they already have Florida State and Miami, do they need Florida too? And this massive super conference? I don't know. That would be funny. Tim Tebow will pray on it. You have anything else you want to talk about, Matt?
No.
All right,
check
dude.
Check out southboundsports.com.
Yeah, go to southboundsports.com. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.